The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 9:01 on ESPN 97.5. Ping pong balls tonight, people. The most important day of the year for the Houston Rockets. I don't even think this is arguable. This is the number one most important day for this team, because if they fall out of the top four, they lose this pick. And the top four picks appear to be pretty good, that you've got some pretty good choices. Every one of the four, and not every NBA lottery, not every NBA draft is four deep. This one apparently is. So you've got a chance to better your team tonight, but the dream's got to come true. The dream will be there. Is it in New York? It's always in New York, isn't it?
I think, yeah, it's got to be New York.
I would imagine.
Yeah, league office is there. Yeah. I think it's in New York.
So, you can't argue there's any other day that would be more important than this day for them. And then the second most important day is who they pick. With that draft pick, or who they watch Oklahoma City pick, and they still got a couple of more picks in the first round, so they can get the job done. You never know what diamond in the rough you're going to find later in the draft. You look at some of the players that have come out of later in the draft. You can with due diligence find somebody good if you make the right choice. So this is an article. If the Houston Rockets get that number one overall pick, what do they do after that? Houston should try to move John Wall and Eric Gordon, both because of their inflated salaries and age. Neither is a sensible component of a rebuild. Absolutely true. Houston could justify dangling the top pick as a sweetener to dump Wall and the nearly $92 million he's owed.
No.
Over the next two seasons.
No.
But there's no chance the Rocket would consider
that
with Cunningham available.
No.
The best move here for the Rockets is a smaller one. Daniel House Jr.'s three-point shooting has trended steadily down from 41% but he's only due $3.9 million in the final year of his deal next season. Having just turned 28, the 3-and-D wing could provide real value to a contender in a limited role, especially if he bumps his long-range hit rate up toward 37%. Daniel House, what will Sixer. Daniel House bring?
Sixer.
Not much.
A light player in return.
Yeah.
Light player in return.
You're not getting rid of John Wall.
First of all, you're not getting rid of that pick.
I'd rather sit
on that money, and you cannot give up a top pick if you get
just
a top
to
pick.
Save the $92 million on John
no,
Wall.
No, you fade that. Like, yeah. Too bad, so sad.
Yeah.
We'll just work around this. And you know, here's the other thing I would caution against. Building a team completely made of younger players, that doesn't strike me as a very veteran team. Like the way that they behaved on the court, there was some, although I thought they did compete harder than some other teams I saw them play, but I think you need to be careful about having a team that's all young. You need to have some veterans on a team to show them how to be pros and things like that. Maybe that's a passe art form. But when you do it and you do it effectively, because the Suns look like a team who are about business. Like, not saying they don't have fun or whatever, but they play a good disciplined brand of basketball for the most part. It's just more up-tempo. And I think it starts with having a star player who puts the work in, and Devin Booker. But there was just no getting around the fact that guys like Jay Crowder and Chris Paul, they make a difference. They make a major difference. And the Rockets aren't ready to win at that level. But I think having some veterans on the team, you know, I always thought P.J. Tucker and Trevor Ariza made differences too with the Rockets.
Yeah. Well, because they didn't have – their star wasn't a real leader.
Right.
So they had to have –
you
got to
get it from somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know if Christian Wood is going to be a big vocal leader. It's okay to have some veterans on the team. With that said, I don't know that Wall's that guy, but Eric Gordon –
John Wall played hard. I mean, I don't.
No, he does. He's just not. How can you tell guys something when you're never?
When you're never around,
you can't play two straight weeks.
Yeah. Well, but I just think the Knicks. The rumor is that the Knicks do that. Maybe he's not their first choice, but that John Wall is a choice. I just think that this is something the Knicks need to and have to do is trade for John Wall. I just believe that he would be, and they would be such a. They might even be a championship organization. If they could get a John Wall. I just think that. Only because I want to get rid of John Wall.
Yeah, we all do.
You do know. Okay, so what are the odds of the Rockets getting the number one overall pick tonight?
52%?
No,
14%.
It's top four.
Oh, that's top four. That's right.
Top so four is 52%. Top four is 52.1%, which is basically a coin flip.
It's
a coin flip.
No, I can figure out these odds.
No, and it's pretty clear.
No, it's a coin flip.
Basically a coin flip.
14 is a coin flip? You're talking about getting that.
No, 52% is a coin flip.
I get that, but I'm saying I can figure out 1, 2, 3, and 4, right? And I can just, on paper, just figure that out real quick, what the odds are going to be for those. You say 52% for the top four. I'm talking about pick number one, pick number two, pick number three.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's 14.
14, 2 and 14. It's 1 of 7 divided by...
What? Let's just say the pain of this season.
It's 14, 14, 14, and 11.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right in there.
The pain of
the season. Oh, yeah, because it doesn't matter the picks.
Yeah,
all inside.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, your odds after. Okay. So then your odds after one has been selected. Well, but you go opposite. But that didn't happen. When they actually did the drawings, it's one first, two. We work in reverse order, but if you actually did it to where one has been eliminated, then the odds on two in real life are actually. See, we're acting like. Well, no, I guess this is no.
They just display it in reverse order. Yeah. It they're picked.
Well, I'm trying to remember. Is it done? It's not done in person. They already have
live. Yeah,
it's already happened,
done it,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm saying is yes. So it's not actually your odds of getting number two actually increase after number one is gone. Yes, instead of it's 1 in 13 instead of 1 in 14.
Actually, yes. No.
Why?
It's because you still have the same number of balls. No, it's still 14, 14, 14, and 11.
Is it
based
on balls? Not you don't have a 1 in 13
it's just like
chance
poker.
Then, and
if
then a 1 in 12 chance?
Your odds don't increase when there's one less card. Your odds go down when there's one less card. After the flop, the odds go down.
Though you've taken out the ping pong balls of the other team.
Right.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
Or you don't. Actually, I don't know how it actually happens. I don't know if they take them out or they just keep discarding once they get a pick that's already been.
Yeah.
Let's say the top pick is the Rockets. So I'm going to keep it positive. And so pick number two, I wonder if they take all the Rockets ping pong balls out of there or just every time if the Rockets come back up again, they just chunk it. That's
chunk
probably
it.
What
I don't
they
know.
Do.
I don't know how that works. I don't think anybody's ever seen how it works. It's done by a company, right?
We've seen it with Texas Lottery.
Until after the frozen Dunk. Envelope?
36.
Well, there's no more. There's only 136 in there, though.
Dunk! 41. 41.
Right. There's only 136.
Wouldn't it be better if it was a real ping pong ball lottery? And, yeah, it's clunkier when you have to wait through the same teams coming up. But wouldn't that be great if you got to see it live and you're sitting there sweating your ass off about the lottery? We watched it live go one through... Through
well,
the
aren't you going to be sweating every time?
It would
time
be very clunky.
Yeah, I'm going to be.
Opens up and it's either the Rockets or not. You're going to be sweating, waiting for the waiting to get into that top.
And they
four.
Reveal in reverse order, right?
Yeah, from the 13 to one is what they do, or two, and then we know what one is.
Right.
Yeah.
if they go and with the 13th pick, the Houston Rockets.
Ooh.
What?
Ooh.
Now what?
Do they? Is that even possible?
I don't think that's possible.
I don't think that's possible.
No, it used to be that you could be no worse than fourth if you were the worst team.
Yeah,
but I don't think that's the case anymore. I don't know. I think seventh is the. I forget what they said.
Seven or eight or something.
Something like that.
Yeah, all the measures to keep from tanking is great in theory until you're the team who had to suffer through an awful season. Now you're like, wait a minute, heads or tails almost. If I'm going to be able to even keep the top four picks,
right.
Look, the Daryl Morey legacy doesn't end until really tonight. The pain of his trades, and you got pick swaps in the future too, but if this doesn't go in the Rockets' favor, that's Daryl Morey's almost lasting legacy, that they suffered an awful year and you gave away a pick for a worse player because a star player who's no longer here forced you to.
Because James Harden forced you to.
Well, yeah, the star player is no longer here.
Yes, because James Harden forced you to trade Chris Paul. You don't have you had to go through this season and don't even have anything to show for it.
Think about if there was any level of maturity or patience. Okay, Chris Paul had a down year. You went to the conference semifinals. It didn't work out, and James was like, "You know what? We're still going to be pretty good. Let's run it back." Just think of all the pain you could have avoided if he could have shown a level of acceptance of Chris Paul's, I guess, demeanor.
Tolerance.
Just a little
basic
bit.
Basic tolerance and of somebody being different.
Because Chris Paul would have been back to being Chris Paul. He proved that in Oklahoma City. And look what he did here. And when
you would be back to being like a 61-win team.
And look what he's done in Phoenix years later.
I mean, they were 65 at their best. I think you would have got back to approaching a 60-win mark. Yeah, you would have at least held the window open a little bit longer. Instead, I mean, James's inability to deal with that teammate and then the Rockets' inability to move him with a reasonable deal has turned this into begging for a coin flip to go your way.
So remember, the draft lottery uses ping pong balls to select the top four teams and then doles out the picks to the remaining teams in reverse order based on their record. If four teams leapfrog the Rockets, they will have to send the fifth pick to the Thunder. The Rockets can't be worse than fifth. Either four or fifth.
That's what we said.
Yeah, said he could. They could be seven or eight.
Yeah,
but they can only be fifth.
No, it's top four protected.
Yeah. No. But they can't be worse than fifth.
In terms of where the pick would land.
Well, it doesn't matter if they're fifth.
It only matters to the Thunder in that regard.
Right, but they can't be worse than fifth.
Oh, right. Oh, I didn't care. I didn't even hear that. I don't care about that stuff. You're either top four or you don't exist.
Yeah, but the Thunder could have one of the top four picks that they win plus the Rockets' fifth pick.
Yes.
So the Thunder could have a huge night tonight.
Correct.
Huge night.
And they also have picks throughout the draft as well, besides the lottery, too, because of all the trades they've made.
Yeah.
I think they have two in the teens, possibly, I think. They have quite a bit.
Yeah. And the Rockets
Thunder
have picks.
Two in the teens. They got a possible lottery pick from the Rockets. And then they got a ton of picks coming up next year. Like, they are set up. They are, and I love the fact that they're now the colonies from, they're now officially the colonies from Handmaid's Tale, where this is where you send guards who don't know how to act. They get sent to Oklahoma City.
They get sent to Oklahoma City if you don't know how to act. That's the colonies?
What crime?
Oklahoma City is the colonies?
What crime did Kimba Walker commit?
Where did Kimba go?
Did he commit a crime in Boston?
I'm asking where he went.
He went to Oklahoma City.
Where did Chris Paul go?
Well, they
thank you.
Unlike Handmaid's Tale, they let you out of the colonies. Like Chris Paul's.
Yeah, that's a good. Or you escape.
That's true. You can escape or be let out and become what do they become again? Like wives again? No, they become handmaids, and you know that's not great. You know all that forcible sex that goes on.
And the Rockets also have the 23rd pick from Portland and the 24th pick from the Bucks.
The Rockets will at least have multiple first round picks. We would like them to have.
Yeah, we don't want 23, just 23 and 24.
Yeah.
We would like one 23 and 24.
Well, don't they, is it a swap if it's five, or do they just lose a pick overall?
And like, then they lose the pick overall.
Okay.
Yeah. No, well, no. Then they're the 18th pick.
Yeah, they will have three.
Yes, then the 18th pick might be the Rockets.
It just falls all the way. Right. I think it's the Miami Heat pick that they would get, I think.
Yeah. 913 ESPN 975. 713-780-3776. 713-780-37. Our Astros is what up next. How about we haven't talked about our Astros in a while?
Yeah, let's, coming up at 9:30, we've got a couple of the guys who are going to be heavy hitters in the world of NIL. They will explain to us how this is going to work. Name, image, likeness, because it's going down right now. Like, major players in college football are already working with representatives to get some deals done. So you're going to start hearing about these and seeing them. July 1st is when you can mention it in the state of Texas. July 1st. And they're going to join us at 9:30. So, and we'll touch on what the Supreme Court had to say yesterday as they ruled 9-0 against the NCAA. That was a big loss. Big loss for the NCAA now, who many people think they'll just wash away now as a governing body.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. We're going to be talking about the NIL and some inside information here in just a little bit. For you here, what's going on? Just had the Supreme Court ruling that we'll talk about as well in the next segment. But first, how about our Astros? How about 10-0, and then Belak comes in, gives up a couple of hits and a couple of runs, and a no hitter with a rain delay. A no hitter turns into a two hitter and a 10-2 win. But Odorizzi was the story last night. 9 strikeouts in 5 innings. He did take him 86 pitches. But, man, dude, Odorizzi looked the best he's looked so far. His fastball, everything was moving.
2 games in a row.
Yeah, but this, I think it looked better last night than he did
the
in his
fastball,
last one.
The movement on his fastball that was kind of riding up and in the strike zone, that was tough, man. That was tough to hit.
I think he looked better, but in large part because he was facing the Orioles.
That's helped.
You know, that helps that they swing and miss by a wide margin.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're not a very good baseball team. But, you know, the Astros have struggled with teams like this, so it was nice to see. And Odorizzi had command
Odorizzi
all night
and the
long.
Bullpen could have sucked, and they would have won 10-7.
Yeah. No. There's no question. Hey, Javier didn't look great. Javier was wild. He threw, you know, he was 2-0 on every single batter except the last hit batter, and he was 3-0 on one guy, and yet he got everybody out, and he had 2 strikeouts. But he was... He looked pissed off to me. Honest to God, I thought he just looks pissed off. He doesn't look the same when he was starting.
Well, but this is how they're... Although you had a big lead by then, or you had a 5-run lead, but you... No, you had a 7-run lead. But this is how you... this is how you're going to be using him.
No, you only had 5 when he came in. And then they picked it up to put the 7. Yeah.
So you have... You're going to have 2 innings here, an inning there.
Yeah.
He better get used to this, although, you know, I kind of want to save him for a high-leverage situation, but you may not have one against the Orioles.
No.
Not the way you're hitting. You may just not even have that situation.
No. And what was weird was every couple of innings, when a pitcher was coming off the mound, the umpires would come over and check them and see if they had anything in their glove or their hat. So that is going to be a part of baseball now, maybe every game now. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is what we're going to see every pitcher that comes in as he's walking.
It's kind
off
of
the
like
field.
A speed trap. You know how you know they just scare you.
Yeah.
Everyone says, "Oh man!" It used to be Kendleton when I was back in the day at Richmond Rosenberg, and you were headed to Wharton. You had to know Kendleton, man. You were going to run into the trap.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they made their money. So you knew. So you were driving. So after a while, you get to be like, "Man, I'm going to slow it down." It's the same thing with checking the gloves and the hats. They want to create that little speed trap for you so you think, oh, I always have to be, I got to stay clean because they're going to be checking me. And all of a sudden, you start realizing, hey, I haven't been checked for a couple games.
Right. And like, maybe you should hide your Uzi when you get pulled over.
That's Frank Clark.
You know
that's
what different. I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, that
wasn't his. That was his bodyguard.
No, that was.
Nah, it's Frank's bodyguards.
It was Frank's bodyguard, but he just dropped him off.
Left it in the car.
He forgot it?
Hey, you forgot.
You forgot your Uzi.
Your submachine Uzi.
Yeah, so our team, our team looks pretty good. And here's the deal is that they've played, what did you say yesterday? They were like 34-15 or something?
34-19 against 34-19. Teams over 500, yeah. It's the best in
that's
baseball.
55 games against teams with winning record. Yeah. When there were other teams that had 15 games against teams with winning.
23 for 9-14 for the Mets. They played less than half the amount the Astros have. That's how hard the Astros schedule has, or competitive the Astros schedule's been. And they're a 40-plus win team. They're in great shape because they're going to start playing the softies soon.
Yeah.
Well, they're in the middle,
of, of it right now. But unfortunately for them, they really haven't. They play their competition, unlike last night. Maybe that's changed. Maybe they'll start being lamb killers as well, and they'll pick up a lead. Listen, you do not want to be the wild card. The A's are not going away. The A's are not going away. So you're going to have to continue to win.
You will. The A's have a losing record against 500 teams.
And do you see the A's rotation? It ain't even close to the Astros.
Lamb killers. The lamb killers eventually become the lambs. That's the way it's going to work.
That's what you think?
Mm-hmm. When has it not worked that way?
No. Well,
for the in the Astros division,
yeah, no, I'm just worried about the playoffs. The Astros have proven that they are going to be a monster in the postseason because they ain't scared of no teams with winning records. Mm-mm. You ain't facing no lambs in the postseason.
Nah.
So what I love about this is, hey, they play better. Carlos is unbelievable in pressure situations. Altuve. I mean, all of them, and this pitching staff ain't scared. Now, when you pick up Scherzer as well.
So you need to reiterate what you said on our SportsMap video yesterday. We were talking about Carlos, and look, if Carlos wants $300 million guaranteed, which is now the going rate for the premier shortstops, the Astros aren't going to be able to do it because they can't get to that many years. They're not going to get to 10 years. They're not. 12 years, 14. And I don't think I want them to. However, if it's about per year, I brought this up like, well, what if the Astros said, look, we'll give you $30 million a year for 8 years. Your per year is 30, which is strong.
Done.
30, but it's 240.
I forget what I said. I had a bunch of Coors Lights yesterday. What did I say?
Okay. So I said, if it's $240 million, but it's not $300, are the agents going to balk because it's not guaranteed money? But you think at $30 million a year, it's done. Not at 6 years,
eight
I bet.
8 years, $240 million, it's 30 a year. He absolutely would sign that.
But you think you have inside knowledge he would. It's not your guess.
Yes. No, that's not. I don't think that's a guess. No, it's not. Okay. Let me get confirmation on this. Would Carlos take 8 years, $240 million? I just put it out there. And I'll get you that confirmation in just a second.
Okay. Because I want to know. Because if somebody else is willing to give him 30 years for 10 years.
$30 million for 10 years? Yeah. If somebody is willing to do that, I don't know that the market is going to.
I mean, we've already seen two teams do it.
Well, we saw 340 for Tatis, and which is actually 24 a year.
Look, if somebody's willing to do 8 at 30, then that puts the Astros in play to me. I don't think it makes him the favorite. But if he's willing to do that to stay in Houston, then,
yeah, let's not forget.
Then that gives him a chance.
Yeah, let's not forget. I know it's another $60 million, but I don't. And so far, nobody's come up with $300 million for Carlos Correa. So far. And, oh, by the way. You know, this is the 1 year that he has shown that he is a $30 million a year player. He really has not, the rest of his career has not been a $30 million a year player. And then you say, well, look at Lindor. It's hard to explain Lindor getting that $340 million. It's hard. And oh, by the way, Lindor has not even been close to living up to it. Not even been close. Now, I was at the Nationals game the other day. They played the Mets. Lindor, two-run homers and a RBI single. He had all five RBIs in the game, and he was on it. He looked. I was like, holy crap! Now this is why you pay Lindor. That was one game, but Lindor has been a total. I don't know that Lindor is helping Carlos at all right now. If you want to know the truth, because you look at that contract that he got in his production right now, you look at George Springer's production this year, which is nothing. You look at Lindor's production, which is not. I don't know that a bunch of teams are going to go, well, I can't wait to get him another $300 million deal, $25 million to $30 million a year to somebody. Because, boy, is it a disaster this year for those contracts. So we'll see. While Carlos is great,
well, Tatis has been really, really. I mean, this injury now obviously changes some things, but that's why I always thought 14 years is stupid. To me, long-term deals are you're just begging to get got on a long-term. On 10 years, you can't guarantee how many players, the amount of players who have been incredible for 10 years, it's going to be lower than 50%, I think, for baseball players who are good to star players. Carlos Correa has not been a star player.
Well,
that's why I'm not arguing for 10 years.
Let's not forget, you're at least 6 years into your career.
But if you're the agency, you got to try to get him the most because, A, that's also your money, but that's also you doing a deal, your first baseball deal. You want it to be as strong as possible. Now, but if Carlos says, hey, you work for me, and I want to stay in Houston, yeah, and if they're willing to do that, well, then Carlos can do that.
Yeah.
That's his choice.
If they would have offered him $240,
is Daniela happy here?
Yes, Daniela is happy here. They both love it here. They want to be here. We'll see. Yeah, I don't think the Astros are given.
Did you get your answer or no?
I did not get an answer yet. I did not get an answer yet. But I do not think.
Because yesterday you felt like, which was a surprise to me.
Yes, I think he would do 8 years, 30.
I mean, to me, that puts the Astros in play again.
Yeah. New York taxes, New York and Boston taxes are high, and Houston is a great place for that.
When we come back, we've got Dusty Stanfield and Zach Soskin in studio with us to talk a little bit about NIL. Now, this is a big, big deal for college, but also not just college football. We'll talk about what the Supreme Court ruling means. We'll talk about what NIL, name, image, likeness. You're going to hear a lot about NIL, what that means. They are involved in marketing and in finding these deals for the players. So we'll talk about some of the hurdles they may have to face, some hurdles the players may have to face, and some of the advantages that the players may, and just get their own personal opinion on this matter. Dusty's a listener. He texts all the time. He's constantly arguing with us through text line. So now he's got the mic on. We'll find out.
You're Tallahassee?
Yeah, well, he's the one. He's the one that said Tallahassee's not that bad. No?
Yeah.
Dusty looks like all Florida State recruits.
928 here on the bench.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 9:32 on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, Dusty Stanfield and Zach Soskin are here in studio with us. This is a big day. They work for Inspirational Athlete Marketing. And they know the game, and they know it better as well or better than anybody out there and what the new NIL is going to mean. But first, let's talk about what the ruling, Zach and Dusty, what did you think the ruling with the Supreme Court meant yesterday?
So this is the Supreme Court ruling came down 9-0 in favor of basically college athletes being able to, although the more you read into it, it's not quite as clearly defined. It's really more, it's kind of has to do with they can receive
more educational benefits.
Educational-based benefits. Yeah. So if you guys want to talk about that.
I mean, I really was, to me, the ruling doesn't really have a ton to do with NIL. I did see that. Matter of fact, I was talking to your boy Perloff about it a couple of weeks ago.
McLovin.
And I thought, McLovin, yeah, and I figured it was going to be a 9 or a unanimous decision by the Supreme Court.
They really can't stand the NCAA. The Supreme Court can't stand them.
Yeah, well, I think at this point
the biggest thing with the the biggest thing with the decision, it's not about the actual education benefit as far as it relates to name, image, likeness. What it proved is that the Supreme Court is willing to rule against the NCAA in antitrust cases of any sorts, and so that's why the NCAA is really being spurred into action. And that's why the NIL rules that will eventually be allowed are going to be far more open and free market than even we would have guessed 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Because the NCAA, they're not trying to help athletes. They're just trying to not get antitrust cases every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then having NIL allows that to happen without them
exactly
touching it.
So what they're trying to do now is just pass the buck to different state laws. Right. They've even talked about they don't even want to institute their own NIL rules. They want Congress to do it. They want state laws to do it. They want anybody to take responsibility besides themselves.
Well, and they want, after it's the Wild West out there, with this state does more than this state, and this state does more, it won't be a competitive balance. Then they want to go to Congress and the Senate and say, it's not working. You guys, we need one umbrella law that you guys make, because you're right. If the NCAA makes it, they're going to get another lawsuit.
If the government
makes it, it'll be a different thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, you'd think that the governing body of college athletics would be able to make a rule to govern college athletics.
Nope.
Yeah. But Dustin, I'm curious if you thought, because I remember the thought was going to be that there would be some oversight and limits to what a player could make. That was pretty commonly believed. I don't know if you believed that ever, and as someone who runs a marketing agency for pro athletes and now college into the pros and now, you know, all the way down. Do you think that is coming? Because right now that's not in place, right?
I would say I would tend to lean against that. And simply, I mean, you know, my experience is with professional sports, right? And really the market regulates itself. I mean, and I think you have all these people that have these doomsday scenarios with kids. But you look at how every other sports marketing industry works, whether it's soccer in Europe or, you know, NBA basketball or Major League Baseball or NFL, right? Like, the market regulates itself. It really does. I mean, you're still dealing with the economics of it, and does it make economic sense to, you know, pay kids when you're not getting a financial benefit, some sort of benefit back, right? It's values, right? Like, what type of value are you
getting
in return?
This is a different market, though, because for years, the marketplace has paid those players to come with briefcases full of money that nobody knows about, and yet it wasn't beneficial to my business, but I love my college so much that I want to give that kid money.
So that is the one thing they're going to try to regulate, is that the NCAA is still fighting on money from boosters, right? Because they don't want it to be a pay-for-play situation. The issue is, if a booster owns a company, how is he not allowed to do an endorsement deal?
Right.
Right. If a publicly or private company wants to do an endorsement deal with an athlete in Tallahassee or an athlete in Coral Gables, how can the NCAA stop that? And how can you prove that it's pay for play?
Yeah, right. But that's when it is, tricky. When we all know it is, and it has been anyway, so let's make it above board. We know what the kids are getting paid.
Exactly. This is going to make less chaos, not more.
Right. It's going to make less chaos. And I agree wholeheartedly. And maybe the under the table stuff, well, it'll slow down anyway because I can pay you over the I can pay you over the table. Now the kids are going to have to pay taxes on it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want you to talk about that for a second. That's a practical matter. It's hard enough for grown-ass people to figure out their taxes. This has got to already have – okay, so you guys are selling for players right now. Can you talk anything about that? Like,
let's backtrack a little bit. Honestly, the thing that, and I've told people this, the thing I'm most excited about, right? And I always give this example. I went to the University of Nebraska. I was a finance major at the University of Nebraska. My whole college experience at Nebraska was preparing me for life at the time in the finance industry, right? Like, I took finance courses. I got an internship at a stock brokerage. My academic advisor got me interviews with like the vice president of the Wells Fargo Bank, all that. My roommates, who were really good football players at Nebraska and who eventually went on to play in the NFL, they were basically told, hey, don't worry about your professional aspirations. You just worry about playing football here at the University of Nebraska, and that's all going to take care of itself. Like, matter of fact, don't talk to agents. It's the worst thing you could possibly do, even though they know more about the industry you're going into than anybody.
Right.
Don't worry about that, right? What I'm most excited about is with NIL is now teams or schools are forced now. The education piece is going to become – it's going to be the next wave in recruiting, right? Like, come to our school, and we're going to show you how to make your brand – your name, image, and likeness more valuable, because now it's a recruiting pitch from schools to athletes. So the resources that you saw going into facilities and training tables and, you know, all this other stuff, schools are now going to devote to educating their athletes, right? Like, how can you maximize your value while you're here at school with us?
But it'll be beneficial, and it'll attract players.
It will attract players.
Is that going to be more money that the universities have to come up with to do that, do you think?
Well, or
is
I think
they're
just going
to have the money. If you look
are you
at
sure?
How much
they're
kind of
poor. Colleges are kind of poor.
But...
Well, athletic. But actually, a lot of colleges actually are kind of poor. Athletic departments, though, in the major ones are like. Remember the disconnect between LSU, where they're cutting professors, but the football team is just going. You know, because there's a complete disconnect.
Well, they're different companies. But they're totally different companies.
Yeah. But so I think it's beneficial to the school now to educate. So I think you're going to see kids. I mean, Zach talks about this a lot. The impact it has on families, and I mean from a society standpoint, right? Like,
I mean, yeah, we talk about do I worry that kids will not, especially from the start, be adequately prepared with the financial literacy and tax knowledge to properly save and account for this money? 100%, I think. But we're talking about kids at least losing money that they finally have the opportunity to have, and it's not like every kid is. And I do think there's schools have stepped up and offered a lot of education. They'll continue to get better. But at least kids are now given the opportunity to earn money. Kids are given the opportunity to start businesses. I think that's one of the underrated things about this. This isn't just about college athletes appearing and, you know, getting paid to post on Instagram, or college athletes appearing in, you know, TV commercials for the local car dealership. Now, if you're a kid who's a college athlete, you can start a business and not have to worry about the NCAA ruining it for you. I mean, there have been multiple prominent college football players that owned businesses that they could not admit to owning and that they could not publicly promote.
Really?
I
mean,
well, I look at what Johnny Manziel did, and he just talked about it. I was signing autographs. That's a great business for Johnny. He had to hide it all.
Did you ever work with Johnny? You work with Johnny, right? With the card stuff. Tell us about some of the Johnny stuff
I learned fairly early on that he had. I mean. So it impacted Johnny, and this is the other piece of it too, right? Where guys were doing stuff under the table, like it hurt Johnny. I mean, look, with Johnny, he signed the largest trading card and memorabilia deal for a college player ever up until this year with Trevor Lawrence. Johnny had the biggest deal.
Who's got Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah.
don't you have him?
No.
Oh, you
all right, moving
on.
All right, moving on. Next subject. Back to name, image, likeness.
I thought I was walking you into a softball.
I know, man.
Into a grenade.
But like with Johnny, right? Like fairly early on, when I'm negotiating the deal, like I learned that he had signed stuff in college, and there's stuff out there in the market. And honestly, we had to buy back a certain number of things that he had signed while in college
to maintain the value
signature. that's another piece of this, right, commonly in college.
There was a first round pick this year who's lost a lot of money because he signed 10,000 signatures last year in college and it ruined his leverage. And again, you're talking about, we can openly talk to kids about these things. We can advise them about the number of signatures they should be signing. We can advise them of what the market rate is, and they can get real advice from industry professionals that know what they're talking about, not doing under the table deals with the bagman that shows up.
Okay, when we come back, we got to find out what is this going to be worth. Let's for the big name players, and what it could possibly be worth for the tennis players as well. All right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dusty and Zach in studio with us. Don't go anywhere.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
If I'm a high school kid, then this is what really concerns me the most, especially for the NBA kid. If I'm only going to go to college for 1 year, where can I sell the most jerseys? Where can I get a car deal? No, I'm going to Duke, Alabama, Auburn, Kentucky. I'm not going to a smaller school. I've only got to be there for 6 months. how can I maximize my money potential? I think it's really going to escalate between the haves and the have-nots.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. How is that different than what's going on right now?
Yeah.
If I'm going for 1 year, Charles, I'm going to Kentucky or Duke or
the Gonzaga athlete's going to be a different athlete anyway. Yes, it's typically three years.
And actually,
more.
In the long run, the Gonzaga athlete just going to be there for 4 years. That's going to have a lot of success. Might actually make more money. Well, he's got 4 years to do it as opposed to just the 1 year. We've got Dusty Stanfield and Zach Soskin, Inspirational Athlete Marketing, with us here in studio. What is the quarterback at Alabama, the quarterback that is recruited now out of high school and he accepts a scholarship to Alabama, what is that going to be worth for him in, let's say, he plays there 3 years?
I think if he's good, you're talking about $1 million a year.
Mm-hmm. $1 million a year to be the Alabama quarterback.
See, that's way more than people thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's way more than people thought. And at Texas, and I'm not just saying this because this is this state, you say Alabama where you're all with all the five stars, and you're also the Alabama economy. I would tell you that in Texas and Texas A&M, potentially USC, UCLA, I would think they're going to be worth more than Alabama. If they're good.
Not USC and UCLA. You still got to go where the college team is the most relevant thing.
Columbus. Oh, okay.
And if you're in USC, yeah, it's
LSU.
It, okay.
Yeah.
It's the big SEC programs. It's Columbus. It's Ann Arbor. It's Austin. I think, yeah, that's where you want to be. And can we go on the Barkley thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So go on to Barkley.
Because I think that's an interesting point, and I think it's one. He makes a decent point for basketball, but like you said, it's not that different that's happening now. But you look at football. How many national championships have Clemson and Alabama been in the past 8 years?
A lot.
You couldn't possibly have less parity. And now, if you're a four-star recruit, would you rather go to Alabama, where you got to sit for 3 years, not make any money, and then maybe you get your 1 year starting and go to the NFL like they've had a lot of success of convincing guys to do? Or say you're from Houston. You stay and go to UH and make a lot of money.
Start as a freshman.
Those 3 years where you weren't making any money in Alabama, you're going to make a couple $100,000 a year, and depending on your family situation.
Ed Oliver
would have made more.
When he stayed home, what would he have made if this rule was in effect playing at Houston?
Yeah.
Well, you heard him. I don't know if you guys heard what he said.
No, what did he say?
About the same as what he did.
By the way, you know what? You said that, and it's a joke. It's the truth.
See,
people.
This is what kind of irritates me about everyone holier than now. Like, these poor athletes are starving to death on the sidewalks with flies flying around them. Dude,
no.
The best guys are getting paid.
You know what pisses me off? Oh my God, we got to give players money now?
Right.
We've been giving players money. We've been doing that forever. Let's do it above board.
Right. It's a little different.
Yeah, but
there's a lot to respond to there.
Yeah, go ahead. So go ahead, guys.
I mean, look, I think the bottom line is, right, like we were talking about, like now it forces schools to educate. And it also, the women's softball player, because I know this is kind of along the lines, the same, right, now you're allowed to do private lessons. And the athletes, there are so many athletes that are barely hanging on.
It's not about marketing as much as it's about work, because – let's be real.
The tennis player can give kids lessons.
No, that's 100%. It's not going to be like, here's your marketing. We can't wait to put you on product. Let's be real. Yeah. That's not going to happen.
But how about these? One of the things I've been talking about more lately is everyone makes a big deal about the top men's athletes. The truth is, if you're looking at in proportion to what their lifetime earnings will be from their sport, not having name, image, likeness rules is actually hurting female athletes more. Especially if you're in a non-revenue sport, right? Mm-hmm. Paige Beckers is going to make her money in the WNBA either way, but she still has a bigger platform at UConn. But you look at women's lacrosse, women's softball.
Volleyball,
right? If you're a Nebraska volleyball player, this was your peak earning potential. You have Charlotte, the lacrosse player at BC, who she's
in
like
your sport, this is your peak.
But if you're one of these girls, you could... if you're really dominant, like some of them are, Charlotte North could have her own line of lacrosse sticks in college right now and be running camps around the country. And she's the biggest thing in women's lacrosse maybe ever. and she's not able to capitalize it in the peak of it. And not only is that denying her money now, say she starts this license lacrosse line right now, right? She has her own stick. She runs her camps. Those things then start running forever. And you're talking about maybe over the time, mm-hmm. Charlotte North being robbed of millions of dollars.
Creative
business. You do bring up something, though, that is, and somebody, okay, what happens when it's before the game and the athlete wants to go out and sign autographs? Well, the athlete can't do that because he's got a game that day. However, when you're talking about running camps all over, are we going to see a decrease in productivity out of athletes because they're worried about their business concerns?
No, they're number one.
As opposed to working on their craft.
You're asking the marketing guys.
Oh, that's true.
No, then the number one business concern is how you, like, at the end of the day, there's nothing more important to your earning potential than how you play on the field.
Okay, so now there's another aspect, too. In the locker room, we've talked about it, that there's going to be guys, that defensive end that's really good is looking at the quarterback who's sucking this year, yet is getting $1 million because he's the quarterback. He's going to look at him and say, you suck.
Sometimes
and you've been working too hard.
Now, Zach, you don't think in some locker rooms, you're around a lot of young people. It's a jealousy of have and have nots. I mean, it's natural for everybody. I do think that there will potentially be, we see it with contracts in the NFL. If you make more than me and stuff like that, you don't think there's going to be issues? And I'm not saying that shuts down NIL. I do think that's going to be a necessary evil inside of all this, that sometimes you're going to have some locker room dynamics that maybe aren't great.
So I think, look, if you're not performing, you're not going to get major endorsement deals. Yeah. The other thing I'll say is, look, there already is the kids that are going to be jealous because of NIL are already jealous now because of Instagram followers.
Yeah,
or
that's
fan
true.
Engagement or things like
or that. Or getting paid money under the table or what?
Girlfriends.
Or whatever, yeah. All of that. Now, though, well, you could be playing on a – listen, there were $100 handshakes forever, right? Mm-hmm. Now you can have, hey, come sign a few autographs after you played really well with 3 sacks this week. Come on over here.
You can get rewarded for
you
that.
You get rewarded
okay, so
for
are you guys worried about all about the model where – because as we've talked through this – thing that makes the most sense is for Alabama to hire their own marketing agent and they handle all their own stuff.
So that is
are they not allowed
thing.
To do it?
So the schools are not allowed to set up deals for kids.
They're not at all.
That's yeah,
right.
Because
okay.
that
oh, that's NCAA. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, so for now, is that always do you think it will always stay like that? Or are they going to look at it from a
that I think that will probably stay because then that is basically the schools paying the players directly and that's not something that they're trying to get into.
So you guys aren't agents.
No.
So, but you are inspirational athlete advisors.
And
wait a minute, or marketers.
Yeah.
So are we creating an entire, what you guys are doing, is this going to be an entire industry now, is getting athletes and running their marketing while they're in college?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a multi-billion dollar industry that's popping up overnight. And mm-hmm. so the businesses and the industries that are going to surround this, and I mean, there's going to be so much that goes into it. I think, and they're like I said, it's bringing up. It's an industry that's popular.
I'm going to blow your mind here. And you and I have had this conversation. It blew my mind when we did. I remember we were headed to dinner. We saw Matt Rhule. We were at the combine when this came up. Who is more marketable right now? Derek King or Aaron Donald?
Derek King, probably.
Yeah.
King is more marketable than Aaron
he
Donald.
He can make more money off of a player like a Derek King or marketing reps can than Aaron Donald.
No Why?
The position and the school. Yeah.
And the fervor over college football.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What's new?
I mean, if you look,
but it's always
ESPN,
been quarterback. You
ESPN.
Said Andy Dalton could make more than Aaron Donald.
Oh, yeah. No,
the
no
quarterback
doubt.
I mean, is real.
Yeah, it is.
And it's that. So that is something that it is going to be interesting to see how that goes with college football, because I do believe that the college football fans they're more emotionally invested in how a player is playing.
Yes.
If you're the quarterback of a pro team, you're going to be there for more likely than not at least 5 years along. The quarterbacks usually stay in the markets for a longer time than even a great corner.
Well, not with the transfer portal.
So I'm saying, but that's my whole point. In college football, the shelf life of every player is relatively short. So they just want to know who's performing. If your defensive end is kicking butt and, you know, getting 15 sacks, he's going to actually do, I think, proportionately to the quarterback, the college stars at other positions will do better than NFL stars at other positions.
Okay, I got you.
In proportion to quarterback.
Let me ask you guys something, because most people aren't going to be the parent of a All-American defensive end or quarterback. But you know what? Maybe you're the parent of a volleyball player who is personable on social media, TikTok, or YouTube. How does this impact a girl who's developed a following? Maybe she played Baylor. I'm using an example, I won't use her name. She played soccer at Baylor. She's developing a following on YouTube, a lot of followers. Now, she couldn't make money at Baylor, but now that she's out, she's doing things. How does that work for the for women's sports, and particularly social media, with this coming into account?
So, yeah, July? I mean, you hit the nail on the head, right? These people, these athletes, these women athletes are going to be able to monetize their social media regardless of what sport they play. I mean, you had Haley Cruz, was an Oregon softball player that has like almost a million followers on TikTok. I mean, if you, and again, there's a lot of female athletes around the country that are really good content creators, super personable, have huge social followings, they're going to be able to make real money, right? I mean, we're talking about at least six figures a year, right? Where that's, again, that's more than most adults make in their salary. You're going to have these 20-year-old kids allowed to be able to make that, and they're earning it, right? It's not like, I think people kind of act like, oh, how could we give these kids this money? The kids are only going to get money that somebody is willing to pay them.
Yeah.
Right? These are real brand endorsement deals. And you look at social, look at all these TikTok kids that are, you know, 17 to 20 years old making money that aren't athletes.
It's a no model. Like, we can't, when TikTok versus, when the big battle of TikTok versus Instagram. Yeah, it was Instagram versus TikTok, and they have a boxing match, and there's pay per view.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the YouTube. Like, that was a real thing. And so, the economy's different. NFTs, like, things have changed across
the country. Okay, let me ask. Okay, so I'm a star junior in high school. Do I sign with you? First of all, are people signing with you? They're going to sign with you to market them.
Yeah.
When will it start? Will it start as a freshman in high school now? Will it start as a...
It's free market capitalism. As soon as there's a buyer...
Who is the little people? No.
But you, will
like
you sign
all the Lawless Life videos? Yeah. 7-year-old. Yeah. It's on now.
Well, will you sign great players, great young players in high school, and then start market? Oh, no, it doesn't start when you have a buyer. It starts when you sign them, and then you find buyers for them, right?
I would like to say we can just magically create a market out of there. I think usually there's going to be some people interested before we're going to start working with the kid. Look, part of what we take pride in, and we've talked to some high school kids about this, it's not necessarily that we're saying we're going to make you a boatload of money while you're in high school. It's that we're going to educate you while you're in high school, and we're going to put you in a position to maximize your earnings once you get to college and over the course of your life. How can we help you build a brand that you're known for? How can we help help you with some public speaking things, or how to carry yourself off the field, or with your social media content, or make sure that people know your story as a person beyond just who you are as an athlete, and get that into the world before you arrive on campus?
Will you guys just look for star quarterbacks or really great, great running or whatever it is, or will you sign a girls lacrosse player that's going to go to Stanford?
Absolutely.
You will?
Yeah.
You will. So, man, your business is – how many guys are you going to need?
I think this is the right time to tell you that this is my last show, Tom.
Weird.
I didn't want to have to tell you
right
now.
With all the athletes out there that are going to be getting scholarships, I mean, everybody is marketable in some way, shape, or form, right?
No, if Aaron Donald's what I'm saying. This is trickier than people think.
No. I'm talking about high school to college players. Right. Would have been marketable at Pitt.
I'm just telling you, I've known Dusty for a while. It's clever in their business how they've mined. You really do have to mine areas that you realize, oh man, lacrosse has marketability. Mm-hmm. Like, people are so lazy. They think just mainstream and they just think,
no, that's what I'm saying. You're going to have a boatload of people. Man, this is a huge market now.
Yeah, look at what some professional fishermen make off endorsement deals and stuff like that.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you have a niche following. I mean, you've got companies.
You ever had a fisherman that you've marketed?
Uh-huh.
You have?
Of course you have a fisherman.
That's how all the stuff
that they've got on them?
Yeah.
There's a lot of money there. There's a lot of money there.
We talked about the story, and you guys kind of alluded to it, a booster who owns a business at Georgia. he has a baseball player who he's going to sponsor. I think a golfer he's going to sponsor just because, you know, he's a dog.
Yeah.
And he loves Georgia sports and he happens to like those guys. The guy from here, was it Matthew Bowling? Who's the track guy?
The runner?
He's going to get an endorsement deal because he loves his dogs.
Matthew Bowling, that's by the way, found out how fast was at the Olympic trials.
It was fast.
Yeah. He was like last. He's next to last, but somebody pulled a hamstring and that dude ran a 10.13. He ran a 10.13, and that's like last place now.
Dude, you said
they're like 9.80. It's the speeds now are unbelievable.
What about if I sign with a team, Alabama, and I'm disenchanted, and I leave after a year? I transfer after a year.
Breaking
some,
your
some guy's green. Giving me so what? Some business has given me money.
So this is actually going to be a really interesting thing because the endorsement deals are not supposed to be tied to playing for a certain university. I think you brought up one of the trickiest things on how do you write a contract that is NCAA compliant or state law compliant without, you know, while protecting the business. And I think, look, there's a lot of ways to do it, but that's what, so this is one of the things that Dusty and I have been most frustrated about. So since, I forget the exact year, but California passes a law that's like in 2020, you know, at least it was in like 2017 or something. They're like, in 2023, we're going to allow NIL rules. And it was a little later than 2017. But so as soon as that happened, the NCAA had a ticking clock of this is going to happen. The day was coming. It wasn't necessarily going to be July 1st, 2021. But years ago, there was no doubt that the NCAA was ever going to be able to stop this thing. The second that happened, if the NCAA had the best interest of their schools, their student athletes and everyone else in mind, they would have started educating kids on what the rules are going to be and putting together a working idea of it. And so if you go ahead and talk to athletic directors across the country now, I mean, nobody truly knows what it's going to look like, which is insane. I mean, we're talking about, we're a week and a half away, basically, from this happening in Texas, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi. And
nobody knows.
And they don't know exactly what, because the NCAA is meeting this right now, in Dallas, actually, and they're deciding, and it's, we're talking about days away, and if they would have spent this time educating families on here's what you should do, here's how things need to look, here's financial literacy, right? They, at least for the last year, they could have been.
Or here's some guidelines.
Exactly.
Anything.
I can't wait for the day that some guy in Baton Rouge is paying some kid who transferred to Georgia and is still he's still under contract with him. I can't wait for that day.
Do you think everybody just keeps it to 1 year deals? Is that what it's going to be like?
I would never advise a kid to sign something beyond one season anyways.
Yeah.
Because
you win the Heisman, like for instance, Heisman or something.
Well,
yeah, but what if you suck though? Wait a minute, you're taking a chance now, because what if you suck that year and the guy's going to go, I don't need you anymore?
I think you can, I mean, the truth is you want to get to the point of financial security. And if you're someone who could drop that much, you're probably already making a decent amount of money where you're going to have six figures in the bank and you can get through the next season of while you climb back for whatever it is, right? Versus you don't want to be stuck in a deal where you're leaving, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on the table.
Right. All right, we got to take a break. This has been unbelievable, guys. Really great stuff. Dusty Stanfield and Zach Soskin. These guys are in the middle of something that is going to be it's a huge, huge multi-billion-dollar business that's about to start up here in no time, and we don't know how it's going to look. That is just crazy. 10:06, ESPN 97.5. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
QTS is building more than a data center in Dane County. We're partnering with Alliant Energy to enable 750 megawatts of new renewable energy sources, supporting sustainable generation while lowering costs. We use a closed-loop, water-free cooling system that conserves billions of gallons of water each year, and we're investing millions locally, from scholarships and workforce development to nonprofits and first responders. QTS, powered by people, driven by purpose. Paid for by QTS.